can an act of worship that we are engaged in, you, me, or on your own, can it become a ritual rather than an act of worship? We want to talk about the Lord's Supper. And you may have had someone say to you, do you people take the Lord's Supper at church? How often do you take it? Like Christmas and Easter? And you, of course, say, no, every week. Doesn't that make it kind of common? If you only take it so many times, it's more special, isn't it? These are some of the questions I've had over the years about the Lord's Supper. I know when I was just a little guy, my mother took me to a Baptist church, and we didn't go anyplace. We were just a bunch of heathens that thought there was a God out there someplace, and you know, we had our family Bible, so we were good American religious people. But this little old lady across the street had us come to church with her, and they were observing the Lord's Supper. And we were just little kids, and they had taken bread and cut it into cubes, just a regular loaf of bread and cut it into little cubes. They were passing that. And, of course, every kid wants to, oh, what's that, you know? And so my mother said, no, you can't have that. And I remember this lady saying, this was a long time ago, it's okay for him to have the bread, but he can't have the fruit of the vine. I remember that. So I got me a piece of bread, and I was feeling kind of religious that day because I'd gotten a chance to have that little piece of bread like the other people that were there that were obviously good religious people. But people are confused sometimes about the Lord's Supper, and let's dive into that. We have handouts that were placed back there. I forgot last week, but I had a lot of people remembering that. And so it's just a basic outline for you to jot notes on. John, you're going to help us with that. First one, what is it? And if you look at Matthew 26 in particular, you've heard this. Matter of fact, we've heard it recently where the Lord was in an upper room with his apostles, with his followers, and they were observing the Passover feast together, which was the Jewish thing to do. And at that point, we see where he, as we would say in our vernacular, instituted the Lord's Supper. And in there, and we also see it in Luke 22, where he talks about, here, this bread is my body. He's clarifying exactly what the symbol was. This is my body. And then he goes on to say then, let me get to the right page here. And then he goes on to say, while you were eating, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. I'm in Matthew 26, down about 26. Then he took a cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That is such a good verse, I think, if someone is confused about what is the Lord's Supper, why do you have those two particular emblems? And if we can point to this passage, which gets into Jesus explaining it to his followers in a very special time, just before he was betrayed and before he died on the cross, to me that carries some weight as to what it is. And why we do it. He explained that very clearly. Comments about that particular passage. That, am I making sense? I guess I am. Well, I'm going to tell my wife. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm just wanting to run through some scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if I can get myself over there. Here's Paul talking about the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Uh, I'll start at 22. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off, and if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. The nature of that is not necessarily the baptism, but he's talking about how we as non-Jewish people are going to be a part of this tree of God, if we can carry that a little further. And that as a part of that, being followers of God, we need to participate and be full Christians. We're not just part Christians. When I was a kid, when I was very young, there was a little church across from where our school was, and they had a sign saying they were going to have VBS. This one kid said, "You going over there?" And I said, "No, I don't think so. We don't go there." And he said, "Well, I'm going to go." And I said, "You are? Do you go there?" And he said, "No, I don't go there either." But he said, "I'm half Christian, so I'm going." Well, that was a new theological concept to me, that you could be a half Christian. And as I then started studying the Bible, I couldn't find that concept in there. But at age 7, at least he was half Christian. So maybe that was a leg up on this kind of thing. But we have the idea that we are all Christians. We are all touched by the blood of Jesus. We all need to participate as we remember that his blood was shed for you and me. And it has a continuing cleansing aspect as long as we are faithful. I know there's a number of people over the years that have said, "Well, do I have to be baptized again?" And that's for another time. But we are part of Christ. This idea of ritual. What's the difference between a ritual and us worshiping? Anybody ever think about that? I had an advanced preparation because I thought about this, but what's the difference between a ritual and worship? Anybody want to try that one on?
If I may speak.
Yeah, you may if you got the mic.
I love the power. We as Christians meet with heaven as our goal. I'm not sure people that meet and have rituals, I'm not sure they have a goal. But that's the way I see it. I would certainly welcome comments from other people.
Say that again, John.
We have a goal. Going to church, to me, is part of my goal. Going to church inspires me. My brothers and sisters here inspire me to live a good life in between church services. And, of course, to me, the foundation of it all is I want to live where Jesus lives. Whereas people that have rituals, I'm not sure it has a goal. I'm not sure it's going anywhere. It's just a ritual, just a habitual thing.
Okay. While you're getting that mic, one of the things that occurs to me about ritual worship, ritual versus worship, a ritual to me has been something we just do. And maybe we don't think about it, but if I do this, and I do it so many times, then I get credit, in a sense, and credit for being righteous, and credit for doing this, where I believe worship, as it's described in our Bible, and particularly the New Testament, is a matter not of just saying so many things or doing a certain thing a certain way, but it is, where is your heart? Where is your mind? Are you truly participating and thinking and growing from that? Yes, ma'am.
You just took it all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can see okay. Great minds running the same way, and I'm sorry.
So, to me, a ritual is just a religious thing.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm wrong or not, but it's a religion is man-made.
Okay. Man-made religions can have certain rituals. Now, we have been commenting the way back. We have been, or at least I've heard people say, way back there, John Lastro, microphone.
He's got a
Oh, Jerry, and then we'll get back there. That you just do the Lord's Supper every week, doesn't it become just a ritual? And I've had people ask me that. Jerry.
Well, the way I look at it is a ritual is more, to me, a man-made thing, whereas the Lord's Supper is mandated by Jesus Christ. And he says that as often as you meet, do this. So that's Jesus telling us, whereas so it isn't a ritual to me. That's a part of worship.
Many rituals have been man-made. We ought to do this. And we ought to do a lot of things to honor the Lord. But if it's a ritual that's not commanded, a practice not commanded by God, it can become just a ritual that has not the authority of Christ himself. Yes, ma'am, in the back here.
Yes.
Kathy.
Just using the technology that we have today, I Googled what is the best meaning of rituals. It says a ceremonial act or action. An act or series of acts regularly repeated in a set, precise manner.
Okay. So something very precise, many times repeated. And I had a friend growing up, a kid, his name was Jimmy. And we were the best friends. And his family were of the Catholic faith. And like I told you, we were heathen. So when Jimmy and I'd get together, occasionally something would come up about where he went to church or something that he did and so forth and so on. And one of the comments I remember he said to me was he'd done something bad. Now, it wasn't something worthy of going to jail, but as an eight-year-old kid, he disobeyed his mom or whatever it was. And he said, I had to say 50 Hail Marys. Mm. Well, I didn't know what a Hail Mary was. I wasn't even sure who Mary was, but his punishment was he had to say 50 Hail Marys. And I think that could qualify with the definition that Kathy gave us and all of being a ritual. And I'm not saying we shouldn't honor Mary, the mother of Jesus, but I think there are different rituals in different religious groups that may be more ritual than tied to something in what the Bible says. Yes, sir.
I think rituals are more about us, and worship is about somebody else.
Amen.
I mean, rituals, when you deal with children and when you deal with babies, there's a security and there's a comfort in a ritual. And a lot of times a ritual is about us, giving us comfort. I mean, everybody's kind of touched on it. You're giving yourself comfort, whereas worship is more about God and about somebody else. And very rarely is a ritual about truly about somebody else.
Yeah. And some would say, look, you come together and you have a Bible study every week. That's 52 weeks a year. Isn't that kind of a ritual? Because you're doing it over and over and over again, and you do the same thing and so forth and so on. Well, I would say this. Let me just throw this out. We don't have time to discuss it, but take it home and chew on it a little bit. Can an act of worship that we are engaged in, you, me, or on your own, can it become a ritual rather than an act of worship? Now, I'll let you think about that. And we need to move on.
Paul has a comment or question.
That's all right. It is a part of what we do as worship. And I've heard people say sometimes, this may be the most important part of worship. Now, I haven't heard preachers say that. And I've preached a time or two myself, and I never said that. But, and don't tell Neil that I said that. I'm kidding. But I've had people say, could it become a ritual as a part of worship? And I guess we could let it become a ritual if we don't participate in the right way, if we don't think about what we're doing, if we're not considering Christ and his sacrifice. The time that I think of it most is during the Lord's Supper. Aren't we supposed to be thinking about the sacrifice that Christ made? are we supposed to be thinking about our relationship to Christ and things of that nature? And Satan is ready to make us think about something else. At least he seems to pick on me every Sunday and puts other thoughts that I shouldn't be having. But it is a part of our worship, and some would say it's a very central part of our worship, and I'll give them that, that we come together because we want to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the blessing that is to us as his followers. A communion is between saints and God. Communion, that's another term you hear used, and to commune is the idea of communication, a coming together, a relationship. Hopefully, if you're married, and some of us have been married for quite a while in here, I'm not going to try to figure out the math on that, but I would hope that if you are a married person and all, and if you've been married for a while, there is a communion that you share with your spouse in many ways. Comment over here with Paul, but it's a coming together. It's a relationship. And in communion, we as Christ's followers are relating to God, but I think we're also, in a way, connecting with one another and encouraging one another. Paul?
I think I was thinking about rituals and things that we could do as rituals or things that have been passed down to us and through ages. However, one of the things that they did on the first day of the week is they read from the scriptures. Do you agree with that?
That they need to read from
the scriptures? No, that they did it on the first day of the week as they read from the scriptures. And they read the letters that were written, and they later became scripture that we have now from the Bible that were all put together. And they read from the Old Testament, the scriptures from the Old Testament. And I think that's something that that needs to be more of. I mean, we do it each day. At the start, there's a, if you look up on the screen there, part of the lesson that's going to be brought to us, the scriptures are read first, and then they're expounded upon during the lesson that Neil will bring to us. So a lot of other things, that the singing, that's not a ritual, that's, unless you want to call it that, but it's a spiritual ritual. So the things that I was thinking about, things that we do that are ritualistic, is maybe that you preach from down here and you bring your lesson down here and not from up on the elevated section, or if the preacher could always wander around among us. If somebody was thinking, oh, we're going to break away because they're not following scriptures. No. Then if something that you would leave the church over, you must have really thought that was going to change your soul in that ritual.
Well, so we have split over a lot of things. For example, what shape was the building that Jesus preached in or that Paul preached in? This is the correct building, and I'll tell you why. And I've worshipped in buildings like this in other places because it's an inverted ark like Noah. Think about it. If we flip this over, don't we have Noah's ark? For you boat people? Well, now let me ask you this. You've studied the book of Acts, and think about the first few chapters. What kind of a church building were they in? They may have been near the temple, but the temple wasn't for Christians. That was a Jewish. It says they worshiped outside. How about they worshiped in one another's homes? We can get so caught up into ideas that don't matter. Well, that's right. What kind of a church is it? Well, it's a you know what this church is? It's a bunch of sinners. And boy, am I glad, because if it wasn't, I couldn't be a part of the church. And so we need to get back to what that word means, at the risk of sounding very smart. The ecclesia, which I can't even spell that, but I know what it means. And it is the called out. It is those children of God who form this body known as the church. We must move on. Fellowship of the saints, we've already talked about that. That's what we're really talking about here as we think about the Lord's Supper. It's us coming together. Who should take it? We've talked a little bit about that, and we looked at Matthew 26. A time of communion, we've talked about that a little bit. I want to get down to another. When should we observe it? Let's chase this one around. We just got a few more minutes. When should we observe it? We've already said we have committed to coming together on Sunday morning, and we've set aside a particular time. We have scheduled a certain person to offer prayers. We are doing it in a different way post-COVID. We're not passing trays. And have you ever been someplace where the tray with the juice was flipped over? I have. It's not a pretty thing. Spilled over. I mean, somebody didn't quite get it. And the other thing I've seen is the collection plate. And one little church that I was attending one time when I was just a kid, they were passing in, and there weren't many people, and somebody flipped the collection plate over, and it was mostly coins. And they rolled all over the floor. I mean, it was, and I wondered what the preacher's going to do. He said, let's go ahead and pick those up, and we'll continue on. But we make a commitment to come together on Sundays at this time and to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, to remember his shedding of blood, together to recommit. I think it is a recommitment. At least that's the way I feel about it. Lord, I'm here. I'm remembering that you let your son come and die for me. Well, yes, let's kind of jump into that one. You remember the Corinthian church, and we don't have time to look at that, but you can look it up. They were making a drunken dinner out of it. They weren't waiting for one another to come together as a group of believers to observe this very special moment and remember the death of Christ. Some were taking it early. Some were getting it when they got there. They turned it into a big dinner, a drunken feast. Can you imagine what God may have thought about that looking down? What?
It ain't a rock
concert. No, it's not a rock concert. But I'm glad that's in there, because that really does, I think, cause us to stop and think, this is a sacred moment when we come together. First day of the week, Acts 20 and 7, that's the verse we always go to where it talks about on the first day of the week, the saved members of the Lord's body had the Lord's Supper. And I think there's a passage, I didn't look it up, where maybe Paul was saying, I'm going to tarry a little longer so I can be with you. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. But I need to tarry so we can participate in the Lord's Supper, which then brings me to this question. I had to throw this in, Paul. Is it wrong to observe it other than Sundays?
No.
I hear a no back there. Who said that? Well, sure she did. Why are you saying no? Where's my mic guy? John. Let her have that mic.
When it does say when you come together on the first day of the week, but it also says in Scripture that any time you come together, you should be observing. And so there are many congregations that we have been in where you observe it on Good Friday. You observe it on Christmas Eve. You observe it on any time you want to come together to commune with others about Christ or to get to know them better. So as far as the scripture says, it's any time you come together. So maybe we don't do it enough.
Okay. I've heard people state that if we're commanded or we see the example that on the first day of the week as you're coming together for that weekly worship, that needs to be a central part of that. But if I choose on my own to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I should have that opportunity to worship God in that way. I did look up, and I thought I knew this, but at one time the Catholic Church only allowed us to have the symbol of the body, and you could not have the symbol of the blood, in other words, the wine. And now I think that's changed. I don't know that for sure, but at one time the priest would drink the representation of the body of the blood, but you would go up and you'd go to the altar and you'd stick your tongue on, they'd put the wafer on there as a means of observing that. Another comment in the back, and then we'll come back up to Ron. I thought there was a comment back there. Am I dreaming? Probably. Ron up here has a thought to share.
The way I look at scripture is it never contradicts, it always complements.
Okay.
And so when you come together, you've already learned, as you mentioned, Acts 20 and 7, that the disciples had come together to break bread. Well, if the scriptures say that gives you a time and a purpose. Mm-hmm. And who are we to change that if we have something that says, just doesn't fill in all the blanks somewhere else, if you will? We're to speak, has been our motto for years, where the Bible speaks, use the Bible as the reason for our being, and don't speak where it's silent. And so I'm of the opinion that the Lord's Supper is to be taken as a corporate worship on the first day of the week and every week, and that's it.
But you're saying that an individual could not partake of it on their own any other time of the week then?
I've never even thought of it.
Okay, well.
I mean, we have a purpose for doing it. Mm-hmm. That's my long-term opinion.
And it is clear that in Acts 27 that they did meet on the first day of the week, and a big part of that meeting was to observe the Lord's Supper and remember that. Yes, sir.
I have a question that I've looked for and had never found. So I know traditionally first day of the week is Sunday, but nowhere in the Bible does it say what the actual first day of the week is.
Okay.
Right? Is there any scripture that says Sunday's the first day of the week? I mean, I know it's accepted.
Yeah. Who said that? Somebody.
But it just says 6 days. It doesn't say Sunday. God created the earth on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, if Sunday's traditionally accepted as the first day, but I don't know that it anywhere stated that.
Well,
Sunday is rock hard the first day of the week.
Well, you think about the Jewish religion. They met on the Sabbath, which was the seventh day. So I think we can assume that Saturdays was the Sabbath. And so then we look at the first day of the week, Sunday, and the idea that he arose on Sunday. And there, that's another study we need to look into, and you raise a good question. But I think if you think about the new covenant was to break away from the old covenant, and one of the things was the type of worship, the fact it was a Sabbath only. They couldn't do work. They couldn't travel. I mean, there was a lot of restrictions related to observing the Sabbath. And then you look at the New Covenant and how that is so much different, including how we are to worship and so forth. But I think that's another study, John, that we need to work on, okay? Because, again, people have questions. And right. We look at a lot of scriptures, as she said. Some are direct examples, some are practices we can see and so forth. But maybe looking at the difference between Sabbath worship and Christian worship could be another one. We're out of time. Sorry. You people are just too gabby. I appreciate that about you. Remember, next week, no Bible class. We'll meet at the tent at 10 o'clock for worship, and I think we'll have a good time. Thank you for your many comments.
That's it.
But you're saying that an individual could not partake of it on their own any other time of the week then?
I've never even thought of it.
Okay, well.
I mean, we have a purpose for doing it. Mm-hmm. That's my
okay,
long-term
I hear
opinion.
And it is clear that in Acts 27 that they did meet on the first day of the week, and a big part of that meeting was to observe the Lord's Supper and remember it. Yes, sir.
I have a question that I've looked for and had never found. So I know traditionally first day of the week is Sunday, but nowhere in the Bible does it say what the actual first day of the week is.
Okay.
Right? Is there any scripture that says Sunday's the first day of the week? I mean, I know it's accepted.
Yeah. Who said that? Somebody.
But it just says 6 days. It doesn't say Sunday. God created the earth on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, if Sunday's traditionally accepted as the first day, but I don't know that it anywhere stated that.
Well,
Sunday is rock hard the first day of the week.
Well, you think about the Jewish religion. They met on the Sabbath, which was the seventh day. So I think we can assume that Saturdays was the Sabbath. And so then we look at the first day of the week, Sunday, and the idea that he arose on Sunday. And there, that's another study we need to look into, and you raise a good question. But I think if you think about the new covenant was to break away from the old covenant, and one of the things was the type of worship, the fact it was a Sabbath only. They couldn't do work. They couldn't travel. I mean, there was a lot of restrictions related to observing the Sabbath. And then you look at the new covenant and how that is so much different, including how we are to worship and so forth. But I think that's another study, John, that we need to work on, okay? Because, again, people have questions. And right. We look at a lot of scriptures, as she said. Some are direct examples, some are practices we can see and so forth. But maybe looking at the difference between Sabbath worship and Christian worship could be another one. We're out of time. Sorry. You people are just too gabby. I appreciate that about you.